Welcome to LDS Women's Book Review Podcast, Season 6, Episode 5. I'm Shanda, and I'm here with my friends,
Sheila
and Mindy.
And we're here to finally record a podcast about a question we asked back in August, and we received some responses on Twitter and Facebook about. We're going to have a little book discussion here. And the question that I asked was, what makes you stop reading a book? How long do you stick with it when, you know, you come across objectionable material? And how long do you stick with a book? What makes you stop reading and put it down? And we promised that we'd read some of your responses on the podcast.
Yay,
so we'll get to
great.
That in a little bit. But I wanted to, you know, start with my friends and see what makes them put a book down. My fellow reviewers here.
So does it necessarily have to be something objectionable or just...
No, just when you're reading.
You don't object to boring?
No, I totally object to boring. Well, and I also, you know, there are certain things also, you know, if the characters are just not grabbing you, I'm reading a book right now. It's a national bestseller type book. And I think Mindy might know it's a series that I've been reading, and I've been attempting to read this book for like, I just renewed it again at the library. So we're going on 4 weeks now. And with everything that I read, the first part of this series, I got through each of those books like within a day or two. It's 4 weeks now, and I'm just struggling. And I just don't know if it's because of the storyline, nothing really is jumping out at me, or if it's the characters, I just can't relate to them. I really don't care about them.
Are they different characters than the first part?
Totally.
Of the series?
Yes.
It's a prequel type series.
Oh, exactly. Okay. And so I'm just struggling. Seriously.
I'm sorry.
I know. Everyone said, it'll get better.
And I've only read the first one of that one. Are you on book one or two?
I'm on book one.
Oh, okay.
Should we? It's like, I really don't want to say what it is.
No, it's okay. You don't have to.
No. But that, I don't know. I'm trying myself. I am trying to pinpoint what it is, why I'm still having this book sitting there, you know, on my couch looking at me. And going,
you just can't bring
but you know, just because I liked it or whoever liked it, stop.
But you know, there's
it's hard when
it's
you're
hard.
It is hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. Though, I feel that same way when you're reading something and you're thinking, okay, maybe the next page will get better, maybe the next chapter will be better.
Well, and see, that's what I'm doing because I'm on page like 200 something.
Well, you're almost done.
Well, I know.
I would say, hang on.
I know. I've been to it to know that it's probably.
I agree
not
with Shanda. I would either know if you'd like it or not, but I think that you're almost done. Might as well try.
And because I liked the first three books in the series of the first one, I want to continue just because it's giving more information about why things happened
to have
in the first
complete
one.
Story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's the main reason I'm struggling along, but I just have not been able to pinpoint exactly. But I mean, I'm one of those people, it has to be really, really bad for me to put it down.
Mm-hmm. And then I feel really guilty. I feel like I've let myself down if I don't finish a book.
What's
even
wrong?
But mainly, I guess I just read books I like, you know, mm-hmm. and so that I'll be interested in. So I really don't have that problem too much. But I find for me, when I'm reading late at night and I'm looking at the clock and it's midnight or whatever, and I'm thinking, okay, just one more chapter, one more page, and then I end up finishing it. So I think sheer fatigue is probably the main mm-hmm. thing that gets me to stop reading something.
So
but
tired.
Then you pick it up. But then know, I pick
but,
it up perfectly the next day.
What makes you put down a book permanently?
Language.
And
sex.
Sexual.
So like any
things,
language
yeah.
at all?
No, I there's a few, you know. The F-bomb I don't love.
I don't like the F-bomb. Yeah,
I don't I do agree. That. I you don't want to justify something,
no.
But I think
heck and dang are okay.
Yeah,
with me.
I think I'm okay with that
as long as it's not prolific.
Yes, on every page and every there. Just mm-hmm. there to just make a statement, you know. Yeah. But
the F-bomb within like the first 5-10 pages,
oh, then
I'm
it's
done.
So no, unnecessary.
No. Yeah, especially because I'm like, if it's already on the first page, how
what
many,
else is going to be
gonna
in
be there?
There
forever in this whole book, and right. I don't want to read that. But when they drop it like maybe 200, 300 pages in, and you're invested in the story.
Then I would keep going, but I would say in my review, like I've talked with you several times, mm-hmm. a content warning saying mm-hmm. there is the F-bomb, there is mm-hmm. this, there is that. Mm-hmm. If you object to that, then don't read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if they're starting,
heads up.
I appreciate that as well.
But you know what? If they're starting to use that
and
within the first chapter, it's like, hello, do we not know
yeah.
how to write dialogue? Obviously,
yeah.
if we're starting
yeah.
to
without
use those in
language,
you know, the first chapter.
You kind of need to get your reader invested before you try and push their limits. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
I don't mean in a manipulative way.
No.
drop my pen. I don't mean in a manipulative way, but in kind of a, you know, and it really needs to be fitting. Like it's the villain and it's a really extreme scene or something like that. And,
right.
And not to justify or anything, but if it's really out, just kind of in there for sensationalism, I don't do sensationalism.
I know. I don't either. It's like, why would you even want to be using that word? Mm. I don't know.
That is something that is apparently common with a lot of our anxious listeners readers. In fact, let's read some of the comments from Facebook and Twitter, since I put that question out there to our Facebook and Twitter followers and asked them for their responses. And on Facebook, Carlene Browning said, I usually give it 3 chapters. That's plenty of time to grab a reader. And if it hasn't happened by then, well, I have a stack of TBRs, to be honest, taller than me. Sometimes the first page is enough to stop me if it's poorly written. Really poorly written. Bad grammar, boring subject matter, flat dialogue, flatter characters. That's a lot to be able to tell within the first page. And that must be really bad. Anyway, and she says, or a lot of descriptive violence, sex, or swearing. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to that language and everything. Alicia Malmstrom, and I'm sorry if I'm slaughtering your name here. She says, I've struggled through, yelled at, complained about, and disliked a lot of books I've finished. Oh, sweetheart, we feel your pain. Mm-hmm. Out of a sheer desire to see it through. The very few times I put it down involved really dry reading that couldn't keep me entertained or involved with a plot after 100 pages or so, or it was full of gratuitous sex or language I saw no need to suffer through.
Right. Yes.
And that's really important for authors to realize. I think that, you know, if your reader is suffering through your language and your content, then that's not good. Let's see. Julianne Castro said, by the way, I'm really excited to hear you are doing podcasts again. Woohoo!
Yay! So are we. We're excited.
Listening to your podcast was how I first found out about all of you and your website. I found so many new authors and books because of your hard work, so please keep it up.
Aw, thanks, nice. Julie.
Yes, that is very
that's
nice.
We're excited. We were just talking about that a little bit ago, actually, about how we need to get back to our roots of podcasting. So, Julie continued on to say, I will stop reading a book if I have not picked it up to read it in over a week. That's a good idea. I regularly have about 4 or 5 books I'm reading at one time. She's like you.
Yeah, she's like you. I can't do that.
I can't read like that many books
at a time. I had to do that a little last year, but I
like to focus on one at a time.
I like to focus on
one. Not me. You know me. I have so many books. I always started at the same time.
I don't know what it is. I like to be totally and completely swept up in the story. So if I'm kind of spread around, I don't feel like.
But you know what? I totally get myself sucked in once I pick up a book. So for me, you know, and it can even be within the same day. I'm reading one, I'm sucked in. Okay, then we go there and then we, you know, travel over here. And so for me, I'm okay.
The only time I do that is if I'm like doing different. Either genres or like if I'm reading nonfiction, then I can read fiction.
Yeah, nonfiction, I think I can do that.
I can
that
mix
as well.
That, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, never had that problem.
So Julie says, I love to read. She goes on to say, I love to read and I make time for it every day no matter what. If I have not picked up said book in over a week, it is usually because the subject matter does not interest me. The plot is too similar to other books I've read in the past, or the writing style of the author just doesn't resonate with me. I usually stick with a book for a while, generally 50 to 100 pages. I think we're seeing a theme here.
Yes, we are.
Before putting it aside. However, I do go back to some of those books if my mood changes. Others, I never go back to.
I agree, though. I think mood has a lot to do with what you're reading or what you don't like at the time.
Most definitely. We were just talking about a certain book. We're not going to say names or anything, but about why Shanda and Mindy really liked it and I didn't. And trying to look back at that time, I can kind of understand why maybe I didn't. Mm-hmm. Well, and there were certain things happening in my life. Yeah, exactly.
That weren't
funny. And I'm looking back and I can see probably why.
Mm-hmm. A mood does affect things.
I totally agree with that.
And plus there's some subject matter for some people that's just a little too tender.
I agree.
You know, I've come across that before in my reading. Susan Jensen, who's another book blogger, she says, I have too many books on my TBR list to waste time on those I don't love. If a story is too confusing, too boring, or too poorly written, I abandon it. Sometimes I give it a chapter, sometimes two, sometimes less. Just depends on how much patience I have on that particular day.
Right.
That's true. I mean, there's some, you know, I can get through, you know, about 50 to 80 pages. I like to give a book at least that before I say absolutely not. But there's one book that I tried to read. I made it 50 to 80 pages in 3 different times, got to the same kind of point.
Part.
I just couldn't make my, so I decided after three tries and getting the same amount in and just not being able to really continue on, I put it away for good.
Yeah, there's a certain point. But, you know, I remember when I first picked up Inkheart. It took me, and I remember what page it is. Mm-hmm. I loved it too, but it was like until page 116. And wow. I don't know why I remember that page. All of a sudden it just turned for me, and I absolutely loved Inkheart. Mm-hmm. And I love the whole series.
Oh, I love the whole series, especially the third one.
I know, but it was, the third is fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's the best one.
I still haven't read that. This is Cornelia Funke, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I see her books at the library all the time. I think Dragon Rider is one that just pulls me, but I never grab it because I think of my stack at home.
I know.
But
I have my own copy if you ever want to borrow it.
I can sneak one in every now and then, but it's hard. That's one I've kind of always been looking at.
It's hard finding the time. And I can see what all these ladies are saying, all of our readers and listeners, you know, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. We only have a limited amount of time.
We only have so much time. You don't waste it on something that you're not going to enjoy.
As reviewers, though, it's kind of hard because we have a different kind of obligation.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
You know, where if we were just reading for fun,
you could just put it down.
It would be easy to just be like, yeah, maybe I'll get back to that later. But we kind of have a little bit of a commitment. There's an obligation and we want to give it a better chance. So I know for me as a reviewer, if I put a book down for good, it really has to be for something
major.
Mm-hmm. Kathy Jepson on our Facebook page wrote, if I haven't been able to get into the story by about page 100 and immediately if I find an F-bomb.
Wow.
So I'd be curious to ask Kathy maybe if that's true, if it's later on in the book and she's involved, if she hits the F-bomb.
Ooh,
that's
like what we talked about.
Yeah, that's a no-breaker. Or if it's at the beginning. I don't know, but I'm with her. F-bombs just kind of kill it for me.
Me too. Because that's all you concentrate on after you've seen it.
True.
I know, I kind of think of that way. I think, oh, why did this have to be in there? Okay, well, now what's going on? Okay, I have to get back to the story. You know, it's
true.
It's harder.
Right. Heather Z on Twitter said, if in the first few pages, chapters, there's a foul language, that's a huge turnoff for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're sticking with that content there. Author Carrie White.
Yes.
She said
boredom or inappropriate content. It's that's the thing with having the values that we have and everything. It's kind of nice to have that.
The authors feel that same way too, that they're writing what their readers' values are.
Mm-hmm. And just knowing that if there is that we have that cutoff point. If we didn't have that cutoff point, if we didn't know, you know, if we were reading books that maybe we didn't really enjoy for the sake of all of our friends who had different value systems, maybe we would feel pressured to read past that content, and now we don't have to because we choose not to.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, Teresa Hurst said, I stop reading a book when the distaste for its style, language, or message overcomes the hook that drives me to know the end. And that is I agree with that 100%.
That is perfect.
When
the style, language, or message overcomes the hook that drives me to know the end.
Wow.
I love how she worded that.
That was a great thing.
I know. It's like, I want to use that sometime in a review.
Because I bet she's great with elevator pitches, you know, coming up with it. She just sums up so good. Anyway, so those are our Twitter and Facebook responses.
What great responses. I love those. It was very good.
Yeah, so I think that we pretty much covered that subject of what makes you put a book down, what makes you... and how far do you let it go? There was a book that I read recently, and that was what made me think of this question initially. Hmm. John Green.
Oh.
The Fault in Our Stars. That was the book that I was reading.
Okay.
And it was kind of a little edgier, a little more worldly, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of language. There was some blunt talk about, you know, someone who had testicular cancer. And she referred to him in a slightly derogatory, just kind of blunt way. You know what I mean? And just some of the stuff that she went through, because she was a little bit negative and everything. But she meets this boy in group, their cancer group. And she's terminal. It's just a matter of when. Aww. And she's doing really well at this point.
Right.
And so it could be years and years.
Yeah.
And she meets this boy who had cancer but has been cured, and they fall in love, and there's a relationship there. And there was just enough fascination in how things were going to turn out, what was going to happen, this viewpoint. I had no clue what it is like to be on that, you know, to have cancer or be facing your eventual death and different things. So it was a totally different viewpoint in life. And the content was just a little bit different than what if it wasn't for that hook of, I wanted to see what happened with these people. And there was another character that was very interesting. And it was just, you know, there was just enough hook there that it got me past some of the language mm-hmm. and some of the content. They even had sex, but there was no detail.
Right.
You know, it just says that this, you know, that they were starting and that's what they did. And there was a mention of a condom after and differently. And I reviewed this book on the blog.
Yeah, I remember.
The
I remember.
Right. Things. Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're worried about, if you want to read more about that, go read it on the blog and you'll get more
the
of
content
a,
part.
The yeah. content part. But there was, that was what made me think, you know, what was it that kept me reading this book that has some content that I don't prefer not to read about or not to have in my books, but it kept me hooked and reading till the very end. I can't even say that I didn't love the book. I know there are people who said they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I did cry at a couple different points, but it wasn't like sobbing or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
I think I connected more with her mother and the way, like near the end when the revelations kind of started coming out for motivations behind actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I think I connected more with it that way than with the mm-hmm. YA aspect of it. And the love, but it was about love, and it was just made me think questions, made me ask questions, made me look at my perspective and maybe change or tweak it a little bit. But it wasn't one that I absolutely loved or adored or maybe even would recommend.
Yeah.
I mean, it or would ever just read again. On the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, or would ever read again, but yeah. it changed me a bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one that really made me think about what makes you keep reading a book that maybe has some content that you wouldn't normally read, but this one kept me reading till the end. So
interesting.
It's
that's
just
a good example.
It's hard because there are books that you can compartmentalize a little bit. You know, there's this, 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 and this, and there's reasons this, 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 and this. But what if, like she said in that last comment, which is why I saved it till last, that hook overcomes and you want to see the end, how far do you let it go?
Yeah.
Do you let that mm-hmm. F-bomb go? Do you let that, you know, reference to premarital sex go because the hook is there and the story is there and for some reason these characters are kind of drawing you in?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it's just interesting to think about.
It's just
about,
a personal choice.
It is a very personal choice.
Yeah, and you can't define it black and white.
No, mm-hmm. you can't at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says. It's so personal.
Yeah, but however, there are some instances where it can be pretty black and white. F-bomb on the first page.
And you will never find any of us reading 50 Shades of Grey.
No. No, that is not on my list to be read.
Oh, I'm not even curious. I'm really not even.
I had someone ask me at church once if I read
At church?
She asked me, it turns around and said, have you read this? And I said, no, and I never will. And I will not even read reviews on Goodreads about it. I will not even read anything about it because of the word of mouth that I have mm-hmm. heard.
Right.
But why would you purposely know something that is distasteful and against
and seek
anything
it out.
We believe and seek it out?
Right.
I said, I would not even attempt it if I were you.
Yeah.
And I hope I talked her out of it.
I'm hoping so too.
Well, and if she chose
then
to
that
read
is her
it,
personal choice. I do know people that have read it, but I know that they are struggling right now because of it. So Yes.
Yeah, it's just
no desire
to avoid the very appearance of evil kind of a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you have to know where your line is. And it's like I said, it's better, like they say, it's better to be 100 feet from the cliff than walking 1 foot from the cliff.
I agree.
It's way too easy to slip.
Yeah.
And that's where hopefully we're helping you guys make good reading choices. Those of you who are listening to this podcast, we're helping you find uplifting and good reading choices. And that we're also... being tolerant of people's choices too.
Yeah.
I mean, within certain, you know, just if someone chooses to read something that we
then
didn't like or
choice.
Don't care for, it is, but you know, and just to understand where our boundaries are and to be respectful of other people's
boundaries too. And be respectful
of other
people's opinions.
Well,
as well.
And know that these are the type of books that you will be finding the us reviewing on our blog.
Uplifting good.
Yes.
And if there is something questionable that we think is questionable, then we will
We'll tell you about it so you can kind of make your own personal decision.
And you'll make your own choice.
Yep.
Right.
We just need to make sure that we are sticking true to our personal values and that we are being respectful of others.
So. Exactly.
That's right.
That's why we live in America.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have that freedom of speech and that right to choose.
And the authors can have
to write what they want. Exactly.
And we just don't have to read it if we don't want to.
That's right.
That's the best right of all.
Yep. So thanks for the great discussion, ladies, and for all of you who are on Twitter and Facebook who commented.
Thanks.
I hope to be able to do that again with some more
discussion.
That's
really good
fun.
Idea.
Some more questions.
Great.
It was fun. And
great.
Then we can do a quick podcast about it. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hopefully you will join us for season 6, episode 6 soon, because we're going to be getting together to record another one soon.
Well,
and don't forget
to
listen to our past podcast. We just recorded one with Greg Luke that was, you know, that will
awesome.
Be out by the time this one comes out. So that was a lot of fun listening to that one. So if you haven't listened to our podcast with Greg, go do that.
Exactly. And Christmas is coming, and we usually do a pre-Christmas podcast with our picks for things that you might be interested in as far as Christmas
presents. And our favorite books of the year.
Yes, our favorite books of the year.
So we're excited about that.
And then next year... Next year is season 7.
Oh my, I'm going, what's going on next year?
this December will be LDS Women's Book Review 7th. It's 7 years since it came to be. So
it's been a very interesting 7 years. Yes. That's all I can say. We're
going to survive that 7 years.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't forget to visit the website, LDSWBR.com or LDSWomensBookReview.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. We're there.
And even Google Plus, though. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Oh, I've got that one down.
I got the app and I went.
Yeah,
I do Google Plus.
Yeah,
I'm Sheila. I'm there. So if you want to look for me,
I'm there.
I'm everywhere.
I'm there, but I don't even know what I'm doing.
We're on Goodreads. We're everywhere. Goodreads, you'll find us everywhere.
So, all right. Well, we will catch you next time.
Bye.